Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is, man, it's good to worship today. Man, I hope that as you come and worship here, whether this is your first time here or whether you've been here for 100 years already, like I hope that as you go through a worship service like this, that I hope it doesn't feel like just singing songs to you. I sure hope it doesn't. Man, because the Lord is doing some things. The Lord is doing some things. I tell you, this has been a week, y'all. This could have been your best week ever. This has been a week, and I'm so thankful for the way that we can come together to sing songs of truth that remind us of who God is and what He does, no matter what our circumstances are. And I'm just so thankful that that happens as we are engaging in worship with Him, for Him, but together with each other. Like, I just need you to know, like, even this morning, I heard the voice of the Lord through your singing today, and I just want to thank you for being here to be a part of how God is speaking into my life, right? I hope that as you've come together in worship today, I hope that you're hearing the voice of God today as well. I hope that you've already heard Him in worship, and I hope that you continue to hear Him even as we get into the scriptures today. We're going to continue on in this sermon series that we're doing in Paul's letter to the Colossian church. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and we started out there last week in talking about what it is that we should be praying for. The joke that, well, it's not really a joke, it's real life, is I had my own mother called me this week and was just like, my phone's going to ring as I'm preaching here now. Watch, it's going to be awesome. But she called me this week and was like, hey, Tim, I was not able to watch the sermon live. She lives up in Columbus, Ohio. She said, but I did watch the sermon twice, and I don't get it. And so maybe you didn't get it last week either. I just want you to know, not every week's a home run. It's okay. Like, maybe the Lord spoke to you even though it wasn't a home run. That's all right. But the whole point is that if we're not praying that God would empower us to really submit ourselves to Him, then we ought not to be praying for all the stuff that comes with being submitted to God. Sometimes we're so focused on getting God's stuff that we don't always focus ourselves on actually submitting ourselves to Him. So maybe our first prayer shouldn't be for the stuff, but maybe our first prayer should be, God, help me submit myself to You totally and completely. So what is it that you're praying for? And so we read through some of that in Colossians chapter 1 there. Today, we're going to look at why we pray in the name of Jesus, all right? In John 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus actually says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, there is so much that could be said about those couple of verses right there, but we cannot miss like how crazy that sounds. Like, this is a guy who, don't get me wrong, like, has proved himself, has shown that he is not just a guy, right? He has shown his disciples who he is. He's preparing them for the mission that they're going to be on even after his death and resurrection. And yet when he says this, like, This is something that would have caught them off guard. Like, what in the world are you talking about? Like, why would we ask for anything in the name of Jesus? Like, what makes that name so significant? And some of you might think, like, well, Pastor, like, I mean, it's Jesus. Like, have you ever been to Sunday school? Like, I mean, like, why wouldn't you pray in the name of Jesus? But, like, I do wonder, like, how many of us really know why we do, right? And so what we're going to do today, we're not going to answer every question as to why we do, but in Colossians chapter 1, there are some verses there that speak about who Jesus is, and I think we'll begin to answer the question for us of why, what makes Him different than everybody else? And if He's different, how ought that to change our lives and change our prayers and change our faith and change what we do day in and day out? So before we jump into Colossians chapter 1 here, if you would, just pray with me. God, I thank You so much for your presence here among us even right now. God, we know that you are here because you promised that you would be here. And so, Lord, even outside of the way that I have already felt your Holy Spirit at work in this place, God, I know that even if I didn't feel you, you're here. And so I thank you, God, that you are true to your word even when our feelings don't line up with that. And God, I thank you that your word promises to be with us. And so, God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words, God, that your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that you would help us all not only to hear from you, but to receive that word into our hearts, God, and to take steps of faith in response to you today, God. Help us. Help us to say yes to you even now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're gonna start in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, and we're eventually gonna work our way all the way down to verse 20, and we're just gonna take this verse by verse here today because there is so much in here, I will try to be done today. That's all I can promise you. Like, there's so much in here. Let's jump into these here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. It starts out saying that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so the question that we're wrestling with today is why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Well, according to Colossians 1:15, one of the reasons that we ought to pray in the name of Jesus is that he is the Son, he is the image of the invisible God. We in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, we get a definition of what faith is, right? And it says that now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it is assurance about what we do not see. Jesus is our confidence in what we hope for from our Father. Jesus is our assurance that God is, because he came to this earth. In a manner of speaking, you could say that Jesus is faith. Like, he is the embodiment of faith. He is the confidence of those things that we hope for in the Father. He is the assurance that what is invisible in God is now visible in this man who came to earth to live this perfect life as a model for us. He is our source of faith, and he is the reason that we have faith. We have faith that Jesus was God who we could see in order to help us to know God who we could not see. And so we have faith that he is more than just an image, but he is the one who lived a perfect life and died a perfect death, and rose from the dead 3 days later so that we could be able to live with this God, this invisible God, of whom now we're able to put physical eyes on a body. See, one of the reasons that we pray in the name of Jesus is to show that our faith is in him alone. Our faith is in him alone. See, there is no other way that we can be changed and forgiven and made whole. There's no way that we can be made new except through our interaction with the visible Jesus, this representation of this invisible Father. Like, if it be not for Jesus in this world living that perfect life, dying that perfect death, being risen from the grave, if he doesn't do that, then we have no hope. Our hope and our faith is in him alone. Jesus is the only visible representation of the invisible God. And we continue here in verse 16. And I'm going to try to run through these as quick as I can here. Verse 16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Now, we pray in the name of Jesus because we were created through him and for him, right? That means whatever we are, And whatever we have was created through Jesus and for Jesus. All right? That means like the angels, right? Because it refers to the heavens as well. The angels were created through Jesus and for Jesus. The earth was created through Jesus and for Jesus. People in positions of leadership were created through Jesus and for Jesus. People who feel alone were created through Jesus and for Jesus. But this also means that the devil was created through Jesus and for Jesus. Wait, what? Adam and Eve were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And yet we know kind of how things went with them, right? But I want you to see this. So in John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it talks about Jesus himself. And it says that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I need you to hear this today. See, even though we were all created through Jesus and for Jesus, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have all found ourselves in this position where the one that we were created through and the one that we were created for, we've actually turned our backs on him in the same way that Adam and Eve did, in the same way that all of those for generations before have, that even though we were created through him and for him, we have turned our backs to him. And I just want to give you some good news today, that even though we have turned our backs from him or on him, that does not change the reality of how we got here. We are still, even when we were sinners, Christ died for us because we were created through him and for him. And it was not okay with Jesus that we would continue to live apart from him. So he went to the cross that we might be able to live in the created purpose that we have. We were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And so even while we were sinners, we still had purpose in Christ. I need you to hear that today, because some of you maybe living in such a way that you have made decisions in your past that make you feel like there's no way that you and Jesus could ever be on good terms. You may feel like, well, if God knew everything I did, there's no way in the world he would ever want me back. And I just want you to know, you have not sinned so much that Jesus ceased to create you through him and for him. You still have purpose in Jesus. You still have purpose for the kingdom. You still have purpose for eternity and on this world. Like, you need to know, no matter how bad your life is, Jesus Christ created you on purpose and with purpose, and it's still there even now. We need to understand, because sometimes life will get so hard that the enemy will convince you that there's no reason for you to exist in this world anymore. And the only reason he is trying to convince you of that is because if you ever get to the point where you realize that you still have purpose in Christ, then you will defeat everything that the enemy is trying to do, that Christ will defeat everything the enemy is trying to destroy in you. He's trying to take you out because he knows what you can do for the kingdom of God. He knows what Jesus can do through you. He knows the plans and purposes that Jesus has for you. So we need to make sure. We need to make sure that we know the truth. And the truth is that I don't even care what you did last night. You still have purpose in Christ. Like you are one prayer away from having your life realigned with God through what Jesus can do in you. And so you just need to understand, like, you were created with that purpose. And there is nothing that you have ever done in your life that can take that away. You have purpose in your life. So we pray in the name of Jesus because he was the one who gave us purpose, and he is the one in whom our purpose is directed. Let me keep going here in verse 17. Colossians 1, verse 17. Again, Paul is going on in this letter here talking about who Jesus is and just how incredible he is. And verse 17, he says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. See, the part of the reason that we pray in the name of Jesus, because he is eternal And at the same time, he is with us. So if you think about this too much, it will cause you to go cross-eyed, all right? So, but this is like an amazing truth of who Jesus is that really is powerful. So Jesus was, according to Colossians 1:17, Jesus was before creation, okay? He was before there was time and space. I know, I get it. Like, before there was a sunrise and a sunset, there was Jesus who was with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. Like, they were together, right? Even before all things were created. And so because he was before time and space, that means that Jesus himself is eternal. Right, there is no beginning, and we know that there is no end. He was not created on the day that we celebrate Christmas, right? He wasn't even created on the day that the angel came and told Mary, like, you're going to conceive and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He wasn't created then. Like, Jesus is eternal. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, it says, very truly I tell you, this is Jesus talking, before Abraham was born, I am, right? Now, by the way, this is also one of the statements that actually led the religious people to want to kill Jesus because of what this means about who he claimed to be, right? At the same time that this eternal Jesus was beyond time and space, he is also right here with us holding all things together. This is the part that blows my mind, right? So, and this is where, like, I know that my little pea-sized brain is just not going to be able to get all the details together on what exactly all this looks like and everything. But at the same time that you have a Jesus that is beyond everything that I see, touch, taste, and feel, like, Jesus is eternal beyond it all. At the very same time that he is in all of that, what has happened and what will happen at the same time, don't think too much about that because it'll also mess with your brain, but he then is also right here with me in the midst of all of my junk. What in the world kind of Jesus is this guy? I mean, think about it. If he is beyond all of this, you know what? Actually, let me just say this different. If you were beyond all of this stuff, would you hang out here? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're Jesus and you could be anywhere at any time knowing all the things that you want to know wherever you might want to be, are you choosing to be here on this earth in the midst of this mess going through all of your garbage? I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's a good thing I'm not Jesus because y'all be up a creek without a paddle. Like, I am. Like, I don't know where I'd be, but it wouldn't be here, y'all. Like, this is crazy, right? And this is what's so amazing about this guy. Like, this is part of the reason we pray in the name of Jesus, because at the same time that he is eternal, he has also put himself in this time and space in order to be with us right where we are. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. He could have been anywhere, and he chose to be here with us. He made the promise to the disciples as well. Matthew 28 and verse 20 says, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely, this is Jesus speaking, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, we pray in the name of Jesus because he was around before we had issues, and he is with us even in the midst of our issues. And to me, like, that's some really awesome news, right? Like even before I had any problems, before I had any sin, before I had all of the things that I caused on myself and all of the things that other people caused on me, like, before I had all of that stuff. Jesus was the Messiah then, and he's the Messiah now, and he's not afraid of any of my junk. He hasn't said, oh, no, I can't handle that. I'm out of here, Tim. You got too much on your plate there. No, he never once abandoned me. He never once left me. He never once said that he couldn't handle everything that I'm bringing before him. He is with me because he is the only one that is the answer to all of those issues. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because he's the only one who is both eternal and with us at the very same time. He is the answer to every issue, even before we had those issues. Verse 18, I better keep going here. We are going to be here till dinner. Verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So we pray in the name of Jesus because he is in charge of his church. Amen. Amen. Just so you know, I am not in charge of his church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You do not want me to be in charge of God's church because I will wreck it super fast. Trust me. But Jesus, we pray in the name of Jesus because he is the head of the church. He is the one who is in charge. He died for the church and he rose for the church and he modeled what the church should look like. And he gave the church its mission to go and to be disciples that make disciples. He didn't just tell us what to do, but he also gave us the power to do it, right? See, we pray in the name of Jesus because we are carrying out his directives for his eternal purposes. See, I am convinced that this is the one thing that gets between us actually giving our lives to Jesus, and that is who gets to be in control of decision making. See, Jesus is he's God. He is the visible of the invisible. He is eternal and right here with us. He is the one who is the only one who is qualified to be the head of the church of the living God that would go out into the world and proclaim the good news of Jesus to see dead people come to life and lost people to be found. He's the only one who's qualified, and yet we want to sit back and tell him how to do our life. Like, Jesus, that's nice and all, but I really want to be about this for right now, and so I'll catch you later. I'll come back and, like Jesus, I know that your word says this, but I think I could probably get away with this one. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. The Father won't mind, right? And so we convince ourselves that we can actually be in control when the reality is that Jesus is the only one who is designed to be in control. See, there is a reason that you do not pray in the name of you. Well, I hope you get that this morning. Like, for real, though. There is a really, really good reason why you don't pray in the name of you. And there's a really good reason why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because he's the one who's supposed to be in charge. And until we actually submit ourselves to his control, he gets to make the decisions. We're going to be so frustrated wondering why things aren't working out. We're going to be so frustrated like, Lord, why aren't we seeing you do, you know these things or whatever? Like, I just want you to know, more often than not, and again, I'm not trying to oversimplify this in any way. I know there's a lot of different things to play into all kinds of stuff, but more often than not, it really comes down to who we let be in control of our lives. Who we let be in control of our lives. But we pray in the name of Jesus because he was designed to be in control. All right, let me read through these last two verses here, 19 and 20. 19 and 20. Says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, we pray in the name of Jesus because he was the only perfect sacrifice that our lives depend on. We pray in the name of Jesus because he's the only one who could have done what he did. He's the only one who could have gone to the cross like that so that our sins might be forgiven. He was the only perfect sacrifice that was required according to the law of the Old Testament. He was the only one who could have done that in order that we might be set free. He's the only one that could allow us to have that new life. Like, we pray in the name of Jesus because he's the only one. Amen. He's the only one. He did the impossible thing, which is simply to rescue us from our sin. I mean, think about it, y'all. Like for real, think about this. When you were out there living your life, doing your thing, and maybe you're out there living your life right now. Maybe you're here because somebody drug you here, and it's like you didn't even want to be here, and you don't want to hear nothing about Jesus or anything like that, or what? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what your story is. I'm just thankful that you're here today, right? Maybe you're out there living that life right now. But I know there was a point for each of us where we probably just wondered, like, man, is it even possible that we could live for the Lord? Is it even possible that we could let him, like, forgive us? Is it even possible that we could be different than how we are right now? Have you ever, like, I don't know, maybe you never asked that question, but there are times where I wondered, like, is it really possible that I could ever really be different? And then Jesus shows up. And maybe you're at that point right now where it's like, preacher, that's great and everything, but, like, I'm pretty sure my life's a little different than what your life was. I'm pretty sure I found myself in some things that you ain't never found yourself in. And you know what? You're probably right. You're probably right. But you ain't never found yourself in something that the Lord ain't seen. You ain't never found yourself in something that Jesus didn't die for. You have never found yourself in anything that Christ can't redeem. Like, you've never found yourself in anything that Jesus didn't die on the cross that you couldn't be healed from. Like it says that when Jesus went to the cross, like, he did all that to reconcile all things in heaven and on earth unto the Father. That means that not only does that mean our sins, but even our relationships. So you need to understand that I may not know what you know, and I may not have been where you've been, but God knows everything, and Jesus went to the cross so that you could be set free from that. You need to know, like, Jesus came in order that you could be reconciled to the Father. He wouldn't come if it wasn't possible. Oh, I need you to hear that today. No matter how crazy your life is, and no matter how crazy you are, for real, there is nothing. Like, think about this. So, like, we had our community group last night. It was all based on last week's sermon, that kind of stuff. The story there was talking about perseverance and prayer and everything. And one of the verses in there was talking about, like, who of you, if you are a father, if your child came and asked for an egg, how many of you would give them a scorpion, right? And some of you are thinking, that might be kind of funny, actually. But you wouldn't do it. Right? Not like a real scorpion. You know, or if he asked for fish, that you'd give him a snake, right? And Jesus says, if you, though you are evil, give good gifts to your children, like, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Y'all, I just need you to think about this for a second. If there was a chance that there was something that you would experience in your life that Jesus couldn't redeem, let's imagine you're the father. Why would you send your son to do something that wasn't going to be able to change other people? Like, think of this from the perspective of the father. That would be cruel to send his son to die the kind of death that he did if he couldn't actually handle everything that was out there. It would be cruel. But that's not who God is. And that's not who Jesus is. And I just need you to understand, like, that's just not how it is. Like, no matter how messed up you are, praise the Lord, like, Jesus is enough for you and all your messed up stuff. Like, no matter how long you've been walking away from him, like, the grace of Jesus Christ is enough to bring you back. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus, because he's the only one who can do that. Like, we can't fix ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can't make ourselves new. But Jesus has already done it through his life, death, and resurrection. We pray in his name because he's the only one who has that kind of power. You need to believe today that that is who Jesus is. That's why we pray in his name. So let me throw these questions out here and everything, because like, we need to wrestle with this so hard. And the first question we've got to look at is, what do you actually believe about Jesus? What do you actually believe about Jesus? Like, do you really believe that like, he is eternal? Do you really believe that he's both eternal and with you at the same time? Do you really believe that he was before all creation? Do you really believe that the Father sent him in order to reconcile all things? That's what the Word says. I'm not just telling you something. Read it for yourself. What do you really believe about Jesus? Because if you believe the Word of God, if you believe Colossians chapter 1 here, if you believe that what Paul was telling the church there is actually true about him, then that ought to change how you pray. It ought to change what you believe about what's possible for you. Oh, Lord. And then the easy step is just, what do you need to ask for in Jesus' name? Like, if you can get your heart and your mind to a spot where you really believe that Jesus is who he said he is, you really believe everything that makes up who he is, and you really believe that everything he is possible to change your life and to guide you and direct you, well, then the easy question is, what do we pray for now? But we got to get our head there first. Maybe your first prayer, even just like last week, maybe your first prayer needs to be, Lord, help me to submit to you. Help me to just get my mind wrapped around that everything that you are is also for me. Help me to see that my purpose is not just for myself or for my family, but my purpose is in Jesus, the one whom I've been created through and created for. What is it that you believe about Jesus? And what is it that you need to believe about Jesus? Here in just a minute, we're going to close down service and everything. After we get done praying and everything, there's going to be people that are up here that would love to pray with you. Maybe you recognize that God is challenging you on what you really believe, not only just about what the Bible says about Jesus, but maybe he's really challenging you on like how you're actually applying that to your life. Do you really believe it, not just for people in general, but for you, right? I want you to know there's going to be people here that want to pray with you and help you take whatever step of faith that God would have for you. Pray with me. God, I thank you so much. I thank you, God, for your faithfulness, for your love. I thank you, Lord, that you are here with us even now. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. And I thank you, God, for everything that he is in us. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would change hearts even now, God, that you would motivate us to take steps of faith even now. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come against every attack of the enemy, Father, every stronghold that's trying to hold us back and keep us in our past and keep us in our wounding. Lord, I come against it in the name of Jesus, the name above every name, God, that we might see people get set free today, that we might all be able to receive your healing today, that we might know what it is to be saved by grace through faith for the forgiveness of our sins, God, that we might be reconciled to you, Lord, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might forever be different, God. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would change us, Father, for your glory, for your kingdom's sake. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.